Boy, we're out of time. His death right here. In 63 AD, because of Jews who were upset with him, they threw him off the temple. And those that were in the temple grounds took clubs and beat him to death. And that is according to Josephus. We're out of time here, but James, a handbook for spiritual maturity. We're looking forward to studying this epistle. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of life, and thank you for your faithful servant, James. Help us, Lord, to glean as much as possible from our study of his epistle. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to Strength for Today from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand. If you have a question or a comment about what you've heard today, call or text the church at 715-894-7555. 715-894-7555. You're also invited to visit them on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. They meet at the Riverview Community Center at 606 West Madison Street in Durand. It's 9 o'clock at Real Country 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM Translator, W297CH, Durand. Time now for the weekly service from the First Baptist Church of Algiers in Walker, Louisiana.
Our dear Father, we do come thanking you again. Lord, I thank you that you've brought each one of us here. Thank you for thy past mercies. And Lord, we look to thee now for this time and for the coming time, Lord, the remainder of this service and the coming week. We look to thee, Lord. Help us. Send thy spirit among us. Lord, send him to take the words that our people hear and make them effectual in the hearts. Help us, Lord. Give me grace to stand and speak. Give me words to speak, Lord, according to thy will, that I might lift up Christ one more time, that I might call sinners to repentance, and that souls might hear and believe and be saved. Have mercy on us, Lord. I know we deserve nothing at thy hand. Lord, we're nothing but sinners. But, Lord, you said, come, you said call, you said ask, and Lord, I come now pleading with you, have mercy on us. Bless us now, bless each one that hears, bless the internet, the radio, the printed means, all the means that it goes out, Lord, bless it. And Lord, I do ask you now to bless the offering as we receive it. May it all be used to get the gospel out to a lost, dying world. Help us, Lord, bless our sick, the afflicted, those on the prayer list. Heal, raise up, Lord, according to thy will. Go with us through this time and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, this broadcast is coming to you from the chapel here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, and we're located at 9559 Florida Boulevard here in Walker, Louisiana. And if you don't know where Walker is, that's just a little bit east of Baton Rouge, about 8 or 10 miles. And we're here every Sunday. I invite you to come by, worship with us. If you want to send us a letter, our mailing address is Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And I invite you to write us, let us know you're listening. We're always happy to hear from especially new listeners. And we've been on some new radio stations now for a month or two, and especially you that on those new stations, we'd like to hear from you. But send us a postcard or a letter, or send us an email, pastor@radiomissions.org. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Brother Glenn Bond, and I want to welcome everyone here in the chapel, all of you who are listening over the internet, you who are listening over the radio. Just stay with us for the next hour, and may the Lord give you a blessing. Let's open our services now with, in the Red Book, number 132, Is It the Crowning Day? Verses 1, 2, and 3. Coming. It's coming. It'll be here soon enough. Praise the Lord for it. Let me give you the prayer list. Those that are sick, we have Miss Wylene Lois and her sister, Miss Peaches, and they're doing better. They've been moved into a assisted living, I believe, there in California. And then Brother Ben White and his family, Brother Kenneth and Miss Dory Gale and Miss Dorothy Vale, Miss Pat Kaufman, Brother Gerald Robinson, Miss Marie Thompson, Miss Carolyn Antoine, Miss Eloise Antoine, Miss Becky Boudreaux, Miss Audrey Thomas, Brother Joaquin Martinez, Brother Arvis Shows, Brother Glenn Gayo and his wife Esperanza, and Miss Marilyn Lessinger, that's Brother Henry Lessinger's wife. And then in a nursing home, Brother Jimmy Gayo, Brother Clifford Birchfield, Miss Mary Perrin, Miss Claudine Fisher, and Brother Harold Cranfield. So remember these as you go to prayer, that the Lord will comfort, heal, raise up. Lord knows. And we have these. These are the what we might say, the physically afflicted. There are many spiritually afflicted that we need to pray for. Those are lost loved ones and those that are outside of Christ. Let's pray for them. Let us pray that the Lord will heal, save, before it's too late. Let's take our Red Song book now and turn to number 22, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, verses 1 and 2. Surely go astray. Let's take our red book now and turn to number 24. I Will Praise Him. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Send will come.
Christ came to save sinners. He shed his blood to wash away that sin. And I want to look again at how the Lord saves a lost sinner. We all know, I believe most of us do, that a lot of the scriptures that the Bible tells us that Christ came to save, he tells us to believe, he tells us to come, and all these things. But people today and most churches seem to be fixed with their eye only on one aspect of salvation. And that's faith. And though the Bible tells us that we must believe, and I'm not saying that you can be saved without faith, but there's more to faith in salvation. There's more to being saved than just faith. And people seem to think, well, that's all there is. Just believe. And certainly the Bible tells you to believe. But the Bible says that Christ came to save sinners. And you have to believe it. Christ came and made the way of salvation. You might say he blazed a trail where no one had been before. He made the way. He opened a path that you can get to Christ, that you can come and be saved. When the Bible says that Christ came into the world to save sinners, that's 1 Timothy 1:15, that was his primary purpose in coming to this earth. When he left heaven, he came to save sinners. And we find, if you read the four Gospels that tell of his life, we find that he did much more than just die on the cross and shed his blood. The Bible tells us in one place that he went about doing good. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed lepers. He opened the eyes of the blind. He did many good things while he was here. But he didn't come just to open the eyes of the blind or heal the lepers. He came to save sinners. And all those other things, the healing and of the blind and the lepers and those things are just additional things tacked on to the great thing that he came for. He came to save sinners. And though he came to save sinners, that's his one purpose. He came to save repentant sinners. And that's the title of my message this morning. Christ died for repentant sinners. And you'll notice that I say he died for repentant sinners. And I'm not trying to leave out faith when I say that, because faith is still required. You have to still believe. I'm not leaving out seeking the Lord, because the Lord still must be sought out. And I'm not trying to leave out anything else that the Lord tells us. The coming, the forsaking of all, the pleading, the reasoning together, all those things are part of God's way of salvation. And when we look at God's word and we study salvation and what the Lord has planned for us, we have to take it all together. We can't take just believe and leave it at that. We have to take all of God's word. If you want to take just one little piece, if you will, of God's word, you can take that part that says Christ came to save sinners, and you can say that all will be saved because all are sinners, and Christ came to save sinners, and he died for sinners, and you can stop right there, and you can say, well, in the context there, it means that everybody's going to be saved because there are no additions or exclusions or anything else. But you're leaving out all the rest of God's word. You're taking a very narrow look at a very, we might say, broad subject. There's more to salvation than just faith. And when we look a little bit more into God's word, we can find that, and I'm speaking along the lines of just believe and don't go any farther, but if we look any farther and thinking that, well, everybody's going to be saved, we can see in God's word where that some have died and went to hell. And so where does that leave your idea that everybody's going to be saved? And you're saying, oh, surely there are exceptions to everything. But all will not be saved. According to God's word, all will not be saved. And we say, well, if all's not going to be saved, then who is going to be saved? The Bible tells us, and we're familiar with this verse, this scripture. It says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads to life, and few be that find it. Few there be that find it. There's only a few people, according to God's word, that will ever be saved. That's a confirmation that all will not be saved. The Bible says, straight is the gate. And the word straight, it doesn't mean not crooked. It means narrow. It means difficult. God's word tells us that the way of salvation is not an easy way, but a difficult way. And because of that hard, difficult way, there are few that find it. There are few. Many people, I believe, come to that way, and they go about entering in and maybe start on it, and they say, no, I'm not going this way. It's too rough. I'm going back to the broad way, the easy way. There are few that find it. There are few who get to Christ. There are few who are saved. When we figure all the people in the world today, the billions that are in the world, and we consider if there are just a few of those billions, that could still be a lot of people. We don't know how many the Lord will save. We don't know. And so we come here time after time. We send the gospel out around the world by radio and internet and other means, calling sinners to come to Christ, telling people Christ died for sinners. You're a sinner. You need salvation. You need to come. Whenever we think of the few that the Bible speaks of as being saved, and we think of the many who are lost to that eternal destruction, I come here time after time, and I think of those many who are lost and how many there are. Now you think about all the people in this world and think that only a few are going to be saved. What about the rest? Are we to just forget them and say, well, whatever, it's not my problem, not my worry? No. Christ said, go and preach the gospel to the world, all the world, everybody. And that's what I want to do. I want to tell everybody that Christ came to save sinners. I want to send the gospel out around the world that we might reduce that many. We might reduce it as much as possible, that some might be saved. He said, there's few. And I know that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit goes and pricks the hearts of every person. And I fully believe the Holy Spirit goes to every person sometime in their life. But we reject it. We turn it down. We won't have it. And that's the natural heart. That's what we all do. We all reject the gospel. But I want to send the gospel out. I want you to hear it. I want you to understand it. So that whenever you come and stand before God on that last great day at the judgment throne, you have nobody to blame but yourself. The Bible tells us that God is long-suffering. 2 Peter 3:9 says God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. He puts up with us. It's not pleasing for God to see a sinner perish in hell. But when a sinner refuses Christ, rejects salvation, won't come, won't be saved, what is the Lord supposed to do? You don't go to hell because you're not elected. You go to hell because you won't come to Christ. God doesn't desire to see anyone perish. Why are there so many there if he doesn't desire to see it? If it doesn't please the Lord to see him there, why are there so many in hell? Whenever you think about the many and the few, Brother Shelton says that means the vast majority, the greater majority of everyone that has ever lived on this earth is in hell. Now you think about it. And there are a few saved. It's because the Bible says you will not come to me that you might have life. You won't come. You won't come. You won't repent. You won't seek the Lord. You won't call on him. That narrow way that leads to life that so few seem to find, it's because it's narrow, it's difficult. It requires you to seek the Lord. It requires you to forsake all. It requires you to call on the name of the Lord. And you don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. He says, straight is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Find it. That word find implies that there is a seeking to be done. You're going to have to seek it out. You're going to have to find it. You're going to have to seek earnestly and sincerely and do everything within your power to find that way and to get through it. There is an earnest seeking that every sinner must do if he is ever saved. And by nature, we're too busy. seeking the Lord is not a desirable thing to me. I don't want to do it. I want to go and do this, that, or the other. I don't want to seek the Lord. I don't want to plead with the Lord. I don't want to reason with him. I don't want to beg him and call on him and seek his face. We don't want to do those things. That's against that depraved nature that we all have. We don't want to do it. Christ came to save repentant sinners. And that's why we don't want to do it. We would have to repent. We would have to turn from our wicked ways. We would have to seek the Lord. We would have to leave our, you might say, our natural habitat of sin and wickedness. We would have to forsake it and turn to a different path and begin to seek the Lord. That's repentance. You won't turn. You won't seek. We won't call on the Lord. You want to continue as you are in your sin. You won't admit that your ways are wicked. You won't repent. You want to continue like you are. That's the natural heart. Christ came to save sinners. But not all sinners. He came to save those who will repent. We find in Luke 13:3, when Jesus is speaking to the people there, he says, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Die quickly and without remedy. Now, when we take that scripture and we look at it in the same thing in just a different light, we can say like this, there is no salvation without repentance. Repentance is required. We're all sinners. We all come into this world, this life, as a sinner. We don't become sinners when we sin. We come in as sinners. And being a sinner qualifies you, makes you eligible for salvation, that same salvation that Christ has made. Being a sinner makes you eligible. You can come. Now, being eligible for salvation doesn't mean you're saved. Don't get confused. Now, that's obvious from God's word. Even though we're all sinners, there's only a few saved. There's only a few who will get honest with the Lord. Only a few who will seek him. There's only a few that will call on him. Will you be one of the few? Are you a repentant sinner? The Lord has to give you repentance. But you don't want it. But look at repentance. What is repentance? What's so important about it? Why is it so much required in coming to Christ? Our problem, seeing as we're all sinners, we've all broken God's law, and we really, being depraved, we really don't care about God's law. We're unconcerned about it. We've all, according to God's word, all have enmity in our heart towards God. The Bible tells us, Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity. The natural mind, the natural state that it's in, apart from Christ and apart from salvation, the natural mind is enmity and hatred toward God. Now, Brother John Gill says, this enmity is implacable against his word and gospel, especially the particular doctrines of grace, the Father's grace in election, the Son's grace in redemption, and the Spirit's grace in regeneration. And it has the utmost contempt of the ordinances and people of Christ. This enmity is universal. It is in all unregenerate men. Now that's the natural heart of every lost sinner. The unregenerate, the unsaved person will not come to Christ, will not repent. You like the life you have. You love it. You love the things of the world. You give no thought to the world to come. And to obtain salvation, you're going to have to forsake this life. You're going to have to turn loose of it. You're going to have to give it up. You're going to have to forsake your way and your thoughts and begin to seek the Lord. Look what the Bible tells us. I believe Brother Freddie read this morning. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. And this implies that he won't always be near. He says, let the wicked, you say, that's not me. Yes, that's you. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man, that's you. Lost sinner, that's you, the unrighteous man, the wicked. He says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now we read these words out of the Bible, God's words, what the Lord has for us. Is there any reason to continue on and say, I won't have this man to rule over me? Is there any reason to believe that God won't save you? We have all these gracious promises. This is God's word to a lost sinner, to a seeking sinner. It's the same thing as when Christ said there in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come. The Bible tells you, come, all who are laden and loaded with a heavy load of sin. He says, come, those who are burdened down with the knowledge and the understanding of their wickedness and unrighteousness. He says, come, all who will be made whole, who would be made righteous, come and have your sin put away. Come. Will you come? Don't think, well, I'm not wicked. I'm not unrighteous. That promise is not for me. It's for the wicked and the unrighteous. I have no burden of sin. And if that's the way you feel, then ask the Lord to show you what you have, what you are. Open your eyes, your understanding that you can see. Because I'm telling you, you have a burden of sin. It's there, whether you see it, whether you don't, whether you feel it, or whether you don't. That sin, that unrighteousness is there. You just don't realize it. You're blind. You're deceived. It's been there all your life, and you've become accustomed to it. You got used to it. Whenever you engage in sin and wickedness, you think nothing of it. You go out and you tell lies and you think nothing of it. You go out and you deceive people and you think nothing of it. All the sin, the wickedness, the unrighteousness that's within you, you go about it and you think nothing of it. You've always done it. It's always been there, and it means nothing to you. But that is sin. That is unrighteousness. And the Lord says, forsake it. Turn from it. Come to Christ. Plead with the Lord. If the Lord leaves you there in that state with your unrighteousness and your wickedness, you'll never see. You'll never come to Christ. You'll never understand it. You'll die in that state without God, without Christ, without salvation. You'll die without hope. Every sinner who is ever saved is saved like the Apostle Paul. Did you hear that Voice of Truth broadcast this morning? The Apostle Paul, he was an example to us, a pattern. Brother Shelton explained that with the pattern. We have a pattern that we follow. You have, I can't always think back to my mother there making a dress. She would buy a pattern. She would have a pattern. She would lay that pattern out. She would trace that pattern. She would cut her dress to that pattern. That pattern. That way her dress would come out looking like that pattern, like that model, like it was supposed to. If she just kind of guessed at it and did what she could and thought this is good enough, it wouldn't be there. She wouldn't make it. But she followed the pattern. And if you're ever saved, if you ever have a true salvation, you're going to follow that pattern laid out by the Apostle Paul. Not that Paul laid it out, but the Lord gave us, made that pattern through the Apostle Paul to show us salvation. Now that pattern is to the world. I believe that the lost and deceived world can't see it and can't understand it. But when the Apostle Paul came on the road to Damascus, the Lord stopped him, awakened him, caused him to see that he was attacking God because he couldn't get to God himself. He was attacking the Christians, God's people. That's the evidence of that hatred towards God that's in every one of us. The Lord awakened Saul, showed him what he is. Saul became concerned, and I say that lightly, that he became concerned. He was so concerned about his soul that the Bible says he wouldn't eat nor drink. Wouldn't eat nor drink for days. Have you ever been concerned? Has the Lord ever awakened you? Whenever we see that the Apostle Paul, the Lord shined a light from heaven, I believe that's symbolic to the Lord shining a light into the heart, awakening us, showing us what we are. The Lord shines a light in, awakens you, opens your understanding, makes you to see what you are in God's light, in God's sight, in God's eyes. You'll begin to see the sin, the wickedness, all those things that's within you. That light makes it all known. And when the Lord brings you to that point, you'll be pretty much like the Apostle Paul was. Your desire for food will leave you. You won't be concerned about it anymore. The Bible says there, behold, he prayeth. Behold, as in look what he's doing now. He ain't never did that before. That's kind of the way I see that. Oh, look, he's praying now. Whenever the Lord awakens you and you see what you are, you're going to pray. You're going to beg the Lord. You're going to plead with him. You're going to seek his face. You're going to come and reason with him. You'll do all those things because you're concerned. You're grieved over sin and over what you are, and you can't get away from it. Saul is our pattern. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, there in John 16:8, came to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And that word reprove means to convince. And just like the Apostle Paul there on the road to Damascus, he was deceived, he was blinded, he didn't realize that he was fighting against God, and he was going on about his business. He didn't know, just like every lost sinner doesn't know, doesn't realize it's not real to you that you're fighting against God and you cannot win. And the Holy Spirit came to convince you that you're a sinner, to convince you that you have no righteousness, and to convince you that judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And you're going to stand there in your sin with no righteousness and with no hope. Now, that's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit came to reprove. That's what it means, to make you to know. And when the Holy Spirit came upon Saul, caused him to know. And he could see. He could understand. He knew that he had no righteousness. He knew he was full of sin, and he knew the judgment's coming. And it grieved him to his heart, and he began to pray. May the Holy Spirit come and awaken you and convince you. When he does, you'll have a different outlook on sin. Sin will become grievous. And when it becomes grievous, then repentance will begin to come. You'll begin to turn from all these things, your own righteousness. You'll begin to turn from it because it's not righteousness. It's self-righteousness. You'll begin to turn from your wicked ways. You'll see sin in its true colors, and it'll no longer be indifferent to you. It'll become offensive to you. You won't like it. You used to, in time past, were indifferent. You didn't care. You just as soon sin as not. More likely to sin, like they say, a liar will climb a tree to tell a lie rather than stand on the ground and tell the truth. You'd rather indulge in sin. Once you was able to go about your sin, your daily life of sin, you have no thought of it, no thought of its consequences. It didn't mean anything to you. But after the Holy Spirit shines that light, shows you what you are, now you're grieved by it. You don't like it. It's offensive to you. You can't live like that anymore. And you'll become like the Apostle Paul. Don't know what to do. Grieved, praying, pleading with the Lord. When the Holy Spirit moves upon a person, it's a real, effectual, deep change that comes upon you. It's not the same as somebody saying, well, I'm going to try and clean up my life. I want to go to heaven when I die, so I'm gonna stop doing my drinking and my carousing all night and smoking dope and all these things. And you're going to say, I'm going to clean up my life? No, that's not repentance. That's a form of repentance. But that's not repentance unto salvation. But the true change of heart can only come about by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. No other way. And the Bible tells us the contrite heart. He says, I'll not despise. And it's that contrite heart that comes from repentance when the Holy Spirit moves upon you and shows you what you are and breaks up that old stony heart. That's what the Lord won't despise. That's the true repentant sinner that God is pleased to save. He's pleased to save that repentant sinner. Sees the sin, hates the sin, begins to plead with Christ, Lord, help. I'm a sinner, and that's all I am. And Lord, you said you came to save sinners. Have mercy on me. When we look around at today in our religious world, we find very few people even mention repentance. It's not spoken of, it's not preached, but no sinner is ever saved apart from a true God-given repentance. You'll never be saved. And no sinner can repent on his own power. You don't have it. Repentance must be given by God. And if you're ever saved, it will be given to you by God. The Lord will give you a desire for salvation. He'll move upon you. He will change you just like he changed Saul. There on the road to Damascus, he was hell-bent on getting to Damascus to arrest all those Christians. I'm going to get them. I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem. We're going to hang them. We're going to cut off their heads or whatever. We're going to stop this craziness. But the Lord stopped him in his mad dash for hell and turned him around. And the next thing we see is old Saul out preaching the gospel, praising the Lord for salvation, lifting up Christ. What happened? That's what the Lord does. That's the power of God. When the Holy Spirit moves upon you, stops you in your tracks, shows you what you are, gives you grace to plead with the Lord will save you. He'll turn your heart. He'll break that old hard heart. He'll give you a new heart. He'll put a praise in your heart for the Lord for saving you. Salvation's a real thing. It's an effectual thing. You won't be the same after all that. The Bible says you'll be a new creature. You don't have salvation within you. You can't pump it up or work it up. You don't have it. The natural heart doesn't even have a desire to be saved. If you have any desire at all to be saved, it comes from the Lord. Because the natural heart hates it. That enmity is there. You don't want it. If you want to be saved, if the Lord's put a desire within you, then you're going to have to enter in to that straight, narrow way. You're going to have to struggle, and you're going to have to strive. You're going to have to come to the Lord. You're going to have to plead with him. If you want to be saved, that's your duty. That's your obligation. It's what the Lord's commanded you to do. You want to be saved? Do you? You have a small concern maybe for your soul? You think about, wow, I've been thinking about hell and eternity, and I don't want to go into hell without Christ. I don't want to go into eternity without Christ. I want to be saved. The Lord put that there. He tells you to forsake your way, forsake your thoughts, turn to Christ. That's repentance. That's the repentant sinner that Christ came to save. The Lord has given you repentance. And by nature, you're trying to say, no, I don't want it. Get it away. I don't want it. I want my own way. By nature, that's what we are. You're going to have to forsake your thoughts. You're going to have to forsake your ways. And you're going to have to turn turn to Christ, come to Christ, call on the Lord, plead with him that he'll help you. That's all you can do. You don't have anything. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's nothing good in you. There's not a good thought in you, not a good desire in you to get to Christ, to seek the Lord. It's not in you. If it's there, the Lord has put it there. He sent it to you. He calls you. He calls you to enter in that straight, narrow way. He says, except ye repent, you'll perish. Repentance is required. All's not going to be saved. Just a few. Will you be one of the few? Will you come to Christ? Will you? Will you forsake all? Plead with the Lord. Ask him, beg him, Lord, don't leave me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me grace to come on. Give me grace to enter into that straight, narrow way. Give me a greater desire for Christ. Lord, help. Lord, help. Our Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for thy word. Thank you for all thy gracious promises. Thank you, Lord, for that blood of Christ that washes away the sins of those who come to him. Have mercy on us, Lord. Turn our hearts. Give us all, Lord, a greater desire towards Christ. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Guide us, keep us now. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, and give us more grace to look to thee. Save our folks, Lord. Save those that are outside of Christ. Put a greater desire in their heart. Bless us and keep us. And ask all this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to the First Baptist Church Algiers weekly service from Walker, Louisiana. If you would like to find out more information about the church or send a prayer request, visit radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org. It's Sunday morning on WRDN.
Progressive knows you've got enough to worry about in life.
Hi, it's your life again. Feel like another year is just slipping away? Yeah, remember all those New Year's resolutions you made? You still haven't finished the first book. Just 19 more to go. I mean, if we're being honest, it wasn't a very realistic goal. Have you ever considered that you intentionally self-sabotage? So, what's that about?
So, let Progressive protect your home and auto, because you've got enough to worry about. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine, high clouds around the area today, and breezy southwest winds with highs in the mid-50s. Overnight, mostly clear in the lower 30s. Sunshine back for your Monday, and warmer, highs in the mid-60s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently 35 degrees.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
Daniel chapter 4 stands out as being unique.